Okay. So the Mishnah tells us, Mabin Pesach Mitzrayim with Pesach Doros. The Mishnah starts out by asking, what are the differences between the carbon Pesach that was offered in Mitzrayim versus the regular carbon Pesach that was offered in subsequent years? So the Mishnah says, Pesach Mitzrayim mikcho mi be'asor, v'ta'on hazah ba'agudas ezo v'yal ha'mashkof y'al shtea mizuzos, v'nechal b'chipazon b'layla echad, u'fesach doros nohe kol shiva. So the Mishnah rattles off a number of unique halachos that only apply to the carbon Pesach in Mitzrayim. First of all, that carbon Pesach had to be purchased on the 10th of Nisan. That is a halacha that was unique only to the Pesach Mitzrayim. Number two, there was a halacha that it required you had to sprinkle the blood together with a bundle of hyssop on the lintel and on the doorpost. Again, that was unique only to the Pesach Mitzrayim. And you also had to eat the karban b'chipazon with haste on that night. Only, in other words, on the night of Tesvav Nisan, you had to eat it that night. In contrast, the Mishnah says that the Pesach Doros, that the future karban Pesach that was eaten after that year, was nohe kol shiva, applied for the whole week of Pesach. Now again, we'll see in the Gemara what exactly that means. Okay, so the Gemara wants to know, Manolan, how do we know that these distinctions are true? So the Gemara says, Dichsiv dabru al kol adas Yisrael lemor be'asor lachodesh hazeh v'yikhu zeb mikcho mi ba'asor ve'ein pesach doros mikcho mi ba'asor. The Gemara derives from the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, where the Torah says that this carbon Pesach, dafka, this carbon that was eaten in Mitzrayim, that one had to be purchased on the 10th of Nisan, implying that the regular carbon Pesach that was eaten in the future after that Pesach Mitzrayim did not need to be purchased on the 10th of Nisan. So then the Gemara asks, Elameata, v'hayalachem lemishmeres ad arba'a asar yom ha'chodesh hazeh, hachanami zeh ta'un bikur dalet yamim kodem shchita ve'ein achir ta'un bikur, v'hasanya ben bagbag omer, minayin l'samish ha'ta'un bikur dalet yamim kodem shchita, shene'amar tishmeru l'hakriv li b'maladu, u'lahalanu omer v'hayalachem lemishmeres ad arba'a asar, ma'lahalan ta'un bikur dalet yamim kodem shchita, avkan ta'un bikur dalet yamim kodem shchita. The Gemara says, but based on your logic that those psukim are exclusionary. In other words, in Parshas Bo, the Torah says you have to purchase the carbon Pesach dafka on the 10th, implying that the regular carbon Pesach does not have to be purchased on the 10th of Nisan. So the problem is that there's another pasuk that infers, from which we infer another halacha that does not seem to be limited only to the Pesach Mitzrayim. That refers specifically to the halacha what's called Bikur Dalad Yamim. There's a din that carbonos in general have to be inspected for 4 days prior to their offering to ensure that there are no mumen, that there are no blemishes on the carbon that could otherwise invalidate it. So the problem is, the Gemara says, that the inference that we're drawing from the Pasuk in Parashas Bo that says, v'hayalachem l'mishmeres ad arba'a asar yom ha'chodesh hazeh, you have to guard the animal for those 4 days after you purchase it on the 10th until the 14th. Now what's the reason for that halacha? The reason is because you want to make sure over the course of the 4 days that there are no mumen on the animal. But the way the Pasuk is structured, it sounds like that's a unique halacha that only applies to the carbon Pesach that was eaten in Mitzrayim, but we know that that's not true because the Gemara cites a brisa in the name of Ben Bagbag where he derives from a pasuk in Parshas Pinchas that says Tishmeru l'hakriv li b'moado, that all carbonos, including the carbon tamid, also has a din of bikur dalad yamim. You also have to inspect regular carbonos. This is clearly not a halacha that's unique to the carbon Pesach. It applies to all carbonos. So how could the Gemara imply? How could the pasuk in Parshas Bo imply that this requirement of inspecting the carbon is limited only to the Pesach Mitzrayim, when in fact it applies to all carbonos? So the Gemara says, you're right, Shaini Hasam, Dichsiv Tishmeru. No, because since that Pasuk in Parshas Bo says the word Tishmeru, there's a unique requirement of guarding and protecting the animal to ensure that it does not develop a mum. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Pesach Doros Nami, Chsiv Avatos Avodah Hazos B'Chodesh Hazeh, Sheyehu Kol Avodos Chodesh Zeh Kazeh. The Gemara says, okay, but it also says in Parshas Bo that the Avoda that's associated with the month of Nisan, with the carbon Pesach, has to be, in other words, the pasuk says that it has to be b'chodesh hazeh, from which the Gemara derives that all the avodos, all the processes associated with the carbon Pesach that was offered in Mitzrayim will also carry over to the regular carbon Pesach that was offered in future generations, which means that the same standards should apply to that carbon as well. So the Gemara says, you're right, ela hahu hazeh lema'ute pesach sheni dichvaseh. The Gemara says that really that word hazeh in the pasuk in Parshas Bo, the avata as avoda hazos b'chodesh, do the avoda, the carbon, in this month, is to the exclusion not of Pesach Mitzrayim versus the Pesach Doros, but rather it's to the exclusion of the Pesach Sheni, because the Pesach Sheni, in a sense, actually is more similar to Pesach Mitzrayim. Why is it more similar? Because Pesach Sheni, as we know, can only be eaten on that one night. The din of Pesach Sheni is for that one day, whereas, as we pointed out in the Mishnah already, the din of Pesach Rishon is Nohei Kol Shiva. It applies for the whole week of Pesach, which again, we'll see in the Gemara in a few minutes what exactly that means. Okay. Then the Gemara further questions this. Elameata dichsiv achilu esabasar balayla hazeh hachanami dizeh nechal balayla ve'in acher nechal balayla. So the Gemara says, well, what about the fact that the Torah mandates that the Karban Pesach must be eaten on that night? You have to eat the meat on the night of Pesach. So does that mean to say that that's a unique halacha only for the Pesach Mitzrayim, but not for the Pesach Doros? It's not true. Even the Karban Pesach Doros, even the future Karban Pesach that was eaten in future generations after Mitzrayim, also had to be consumed on that night. So the Gemara says, no. Amar krav yavato eso avoda ela hazel lamali. So now the question is, okay, so the Pasuk says, v'yavato eso avoda, that teaches me that the avoda that's associated with the Pesach Doros has to parallel the Pesach Mitzrayim. So now the question is, what is the word hazeh in the Pasuk teaching me, right? V'avato eso avoda azos b'chodesh hazeh. What's that hazeh teaching me? So the Gemara says, l'chid Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'Rabbi Akiva. That's an allusion to the famous Machlokas that appears in Brachos and several places in Shas between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva in terms of what is the latest time in which one can eat the Karban Pesach. Is it Chatzos? Is it Alos HaShachar? That has ramifications b'zmanazeh in terms of when you're supposed to finish eating the Afikomen by. So again, the Gemara says that word hazeh is not teaching me anything about the actual avoda, the actual process of offering the Karban. It's simply teaching me a halacha regarding the latest time in which that Karban can be consumed. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ela Me'ata. Yeah.
Rabbi,
yeah.
The Karban Pesach.
Yeah.
Before Matan Torah. And I learned in second grade that, you know, we took it on the 10th and tied it to the post.
Right, right, correct.
So that the Egyptians would hear the
lamb
crying.
Right, and they couldn't.
To do Bikur.
What was that?
Wasn't on the
yeah, I'm saying that's a medrash that Rashi and Chumash quotes that we dafka put it in front of the Mitzrayim, so this way we would be shechting their gods and they couldn't do anything about it, right? But I'm saying from a halachic standpoint that, you know, all korbanos have this requirement of bikur. You have to inspect the animal for 4 days before, you know, to ensure that there are no blemishes on the animal. That's the real reason why we do this, not just for Karban Pesach, but even in general. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ela me'ata, d'chsiv echol arelo yochel bo, hachanami debo eno ochel, aval ochel b'thesach doro. So now again, we have another pasuk in Parshas Bo that teaches us another exclusion regarding the Karban Pesach, which is that a person who's an arel, a person who does not have a bris milah, is not allowed to partake of the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, does that mean to tell me that that's a halacha that's only true for the Pesach Mitzrayim, but not for the Pesach Doros? It's clearly not true. We know that even the Pesach Doros has a requirement that an arel is not allowed to partake. So the Gemara says, no, amar krav yav. Again, that same pasuk we keep on citing, teaches me that all the dinim of the Pesach Mitzrayim spill over to the Pesach Doros. So then the Gemara says, okay, ela bo lam. At least, what's the word bo doing? The word bo seems to be an exclusionary word. When the pasuk says, v'chol arel lo yochal bo, that an arel is not allowed to eat that Karban Pesach, it sounds like it's referring only to the Pesach Mitzrayim, not to the Pesach Doros. So the Gemara says, no, bo eno ochel, avalu ochel b'matza umara. The Gemara says, no, that word bo teaches me that although it's true that an arel is not allowed to partake of the Karban Pesach, but he is still obligated to eat matzah and mar. What was the hava? I mean, why would I have thought otherwise? Because one might have thought that matzah, mar, and Karban Pesach are like a package deal. If you can't eat one, you can't eat any of them. So the chiddush is that an arel is still chayev to eat matzah and mar. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ela me'ata kol bene harlo yochal bo hachanami debo eno ochel aval ochel hu pesach ledoro. So again, a similar type of a question. The Torah also says that a ben nechar. Now it's not 100% clear what a ben nechar means. Either a ben nechar can refer to a non-Jew, or according to one shot in the Gemara, ben nechar can mean a Jew who went off the derech, a Jew who's a Meshumad, who's an apostate. So the Torah says that whoever this person is not allowed to partake of the Karban. So the Gemara once again asks that the Torah uses that same word bo. So does that mean to say that this exclusion of a non-Jew or of an apostate Jew not partaking of the Karban Pesach, is that a unique halacha to Pesach Mitzrayim but not to Pesach Doros? In other words, that halacha doesn't bear out. We know that that exclusion applies to Pesach Doros as well. So the Gemara says again, Amar Krav Yavata, the same pasuk, Yavata, Savoda Hazos, teaches me that all the dinim of Pesach Mitzrayim carry over to the Pesach Doros. So then the question again is, Ela bo lamali. So what are we deriving from that word bo? So the Gemara says, bo hamaras das poseles, v'ein hamaras das poseles besruma. The Gemara says, the word bo teaches me that a person who becomes an apostate, a Jew who, you know, figuratively goes off the derech, so the Gemara says that problem, that issue of that Jew partaking of the Karban is a unique problem in Karban Pesach. So a Jew who becomes an apostate is not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach, but he's still permitted, let's say if he's a Kohen, to partake of Truma. So if a Kohen becomes an apostate, he can still partake of Truma. That's the exclusion that we're deriving from the word bo. And the Gemara points out, v'itchtrich lemichtav arel, v'itchtrich lemichtav ben echar. The Torah has to write both of these exclusions. In other words, the Torah has to say that an Arel can't eat the Karban Pesach and that an apostate Jew can't eat the Karban Pesach. Why? The ikas of Rachmana Arel Mishum Demais, Ava ben echar lo Mais, Emalo, Tzricha. On the one hand, I might have said that the reason why an Arel can't partake is because the Arela is considered to be something which is halachically and, you know, metaphorically is considered to be something disgusting to Hashem. So therefore I understand why an Arel can't eat it. But a ben echar, a person who went off the derech, so there's nothing physically wrong with him. He just, he has some bad machshavos. You know, he went off the derech. So I might have said maybe he could still partake. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "Yesh mina ben nechar mishum de'in libo l'shamayim aval aro de libo l'shamayim imalo tzricha." On the other hand, you could say that a ben nechar, an apostate Jew, has all the wrong intentions. His heart is not towards Hashem. Whereas an arel could be a very frum Jew who just for whatever reason doesn't have a bris milah. So I might have thought that either one of them could partake. Therefore, the Torah has to specify that neither an arel nor a ben nechar can partake of the Karban Pesach. So now the Gemara asks again, "Ela me'ata toshav v'sachir lo yochabo hachanami debohu einu ochel aval ochel hu befesach doro." So again, the Gemara quotes another pasuk from Parshas Bo, which is another exclusion to the Karban Pesach, which is a toshav and a sachir. What exactly is a toshav and a sachir? So these are different types of non-Jewish workers. Now, okay, if they're Jewish workers, then obviously they have to eat the Karban Pesach anyway. But these are certain types of, you know, hired workers, whether they're contracted workers or they're just laborers for the day, whatever the case may be. These non-Jewish workers are not allowed to partake of the Karban. So once again, the Gemara asks, the fact that the Torah uses the word bo, which seemed to imply this is a unique halacha that only applies specifically to the Pesach Mitzrayim, not to the Pesach Doro. So once again, the Gemara says, no. Amar Krav Yavata. Again, the word Pasuk Yavata, we've already cited this five times. Yavata teaches me that all the halachas of Pesach Mitzrayim carry over to Pesach Doro. So then the Gemara says, Ela Bolam. Elisa, what's the Chiddush? What's being learned from the word bo? So the Gemara says, bo hamaras das poselas, vein hamaras das poselas besrumah. The same exact limud we just had in the previous Gemara, that this exclusion that a person who went off the derech, that an apostate Jew cannot partake of the Karban Pesach, that's a unique din from the Karban Pesach, but an apostate, if a Kohen, let's say, became an apostate, he could still partake of Truma. So then the Gemara says, Ela me'ata umalto so az yochal bo hachanami devoyin ochel aval ochel befesach doros. What about the fact that the Torah then says, but if you give these people a bris milah, so then they're allowed to partake. If you give the Toshav and the Sacher a bris milah, they can partake of the Karban. Does that mean to say that only a Toshav and a Sacher who got a milah can partake of the Pesach Mitzrayim, but not the Pesach Doros, again, because it uses the word bow? So the Gemara says, no, Amar Krav Yavata, once again, the same Pasuk, Yavata es Avodah, teaches me all the dinim of Pesach Mitzrayim carry over to Pesach Doros. Ela, bo lamali, bo milah schara va'avadav me'akeves, ve'in milah schara va'avadav me'akeves b'sruma. What are we deriving from the word bow? The Gemara says that, let's say I own servant. So if my servant doesn't have a milah, that prevents me from partaking of the Karban Pesach. It's obvious that the servant himself for sure can't partake of the Karban, but if I own, let's say, an Eved Kanani, for example, and that Eved Kanani does not have a bris milah, that is preventing me from partaking of the Karban Pesach. However, it does not prevent me from partaking of Truma if I'm a Kohen. So if I'm a Kohen who owns Avadim Kanani that do not have a milah, I'm still allowed to eat the Truma, but I'm not allowed to partake of a Karban Pesach if I have Avadim Kananim that do not have a milah. It's obvious that the Avadim themselves for sure can't partake if they don't have a milah, but I, as the owner of the servants, cannot partake for the Karban Pesach unless the servants have a milah. So then the Gemara says, "Ela me'ata d'chsev etzem lo yishberuvo hachanami devoyin oshover aval shover befesach doro." So once again, the Torah tells us in Parshas Bahaloscha that by Pesach Sheni there's a din that you can't break a bone of the Karban Pesach, just like by Pesach Rishon. So the Gemara says again, the Torah uses that same word bo, the etzem lo yishberuvo. Does that mean that I'm only not allowed to break the bone of the Pesach Mitzrayim, but the regular Karban Pesach in the future you were allowed to? It's obviously not the case. So the Gemara says, "No, Amar Krav Yavata." Again, for the seventh, eighth time on this daf already, we've seen the pasuk via Avanta teach me that all the halachos carry over. Ela bo lamalis. What are we deriving from the word bo? So the Gemara says bo bechasher velo befasol. The chiddush is that the isser of shviras haetzem, the isser of breaking a bone in the Karban Pesach, only gets off the ground if the Karban itself is kasher to begin with. If the Karban is invalid for some other reason, for some tangential reason, then there is no isser of shviras haetzem. So let's say the Karban, you checked the Karban, you found out the Karban was a treifa. You checked the Karban had a mum. So then if you go ahead and break the bone of a Karban that was already pasul anyway for Karban Pesach, that's not a violation of Shira Satsim. You only violate Shira Satsim on an otherwise kosher Karban Pesach. That's what the Gemara derives from that word. Then the Gemara is, yeah. Well, I'm saying, because the Torah says Ve'etzem lo yishperu, right? What was that?
Just like a barbecue, that you should never even think that there's a problem with that.
Well, I'm saying the Torah specifies that there is normally an issur to break the bone of the Karban Pesach. That normally is the case.
If it's a Karban Pesach.
No. But no. Correct. But I'm saying the chiddush is that let's say I have an animal that it turned out. In other words, I thought it was going to be a carbon Pesach, and then for some technical reason, it turns out that it became possible. Okay. That's the chiddush. That there's no isser or shvira etzem in that case. That's what the Gemara is telling us. Yeah. Okay. Then the Gemara says elameata dichsiv al tochlu mimenu na mimenu yata ochel avalata ochel na befesach doros. So again, the Gemara has a similar derivation here. Or in other words, should we say that the isser to eat the carbon Pesach raw is only true for the Pesach Mitzrayim, not for the Pesach Doros? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Krav Yavata. Again, we have the same pasuk Yavata we keep on quoting. Ela mimenu lama li l'chidirabah Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. So what's the chiddush? What are we deriving from the word mimenu? So this is a statement that the Gemara makes in Meseches Yevamos from the name of Rabbah. So Rabbah says that we derive from the word mimenu. We learn a gzeira shava between carbon Pesach and Maaser Sheni, that just as an Arel is not allowed to partake of carbon Pesach, he's also not allowed to partake of Maaser Sheni. So again, the word mimenu teaches us this tangential halacha that relates to Maaser Sheni. Okay. Then the Mishnah told us in Nechel B'chipazon, one of the unique halachos that only applied to Pesach Mitzrayim is that it had to be eaten with great haste as opposed to Pesach Doros, which does not. So the Gemara says, Menon, how do we know that the Pesach Mitzrayim had to be eaten quickly? De'amar krav achel temoso b'chipazon, oso Nechel B'chipazon, ve'in acher Nechel B'chipazon. It's an explicit pasuk. It says, only the Pesach Mitzrayim had to be eaten with that great haste. Okay, then the Mishnah said, "Upesach doros nohe kosher." The Mishnah is very, very kind of strange phrase, which doesn't seem to be borne out in halacha, that says that the Pesach Mitzrayim, I'm sorry, the Pesach doros is nohe kosher. It applies for the whole week of Pesach. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, "Amai kai." What exactly is the case here? Ilema a Pesach. The Gemara says it's not true. In other words, even the Pesach Doros had to be offered on the night of Tezvav. In other words, it had to be shechted on Yudalit and eaten on the night of Tezvav. So what does the Mishnah mean that the Pesach applies for the whole week of Pesach? It's not true. So the Gemara says no. Ela Chametz. So the Mishnah was referring to is the Isser of Chametz. In other words, the Isser of Chametz in the future after that year in Mitzrayim, that applied the whole week. Whereas in Mitzrayim, the Isser of Chametz only applied for that one day when they were having the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says Michlal the Pesach Mitzrayim Laila Echad Vesul. Does that mean to say that the Isser of Chametz and Mitzrayim only applied for that one night? The Gemara says, "V'hasanya Rabbi Yosi Galili Omer Minayin LePesach Mitzrayim She'in Chimutzo Noheg Ela Yom Echad Tamad Lomer Lo Yochal Chametz Usmich Le Hayoma Tem Yotzim." So Rabbi Yosi Galili derives from this juxtaposition in Parshas Bo. He says that when it comes to the Pesach Mitzrayim, he says that the Isser of Chametz only applies for that one day. In other words, for the duration of that day, because the Torah says Lo Yochal Chametz. On the one hand, the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat chametz, and then the Torah goes on to say hayomatem yotzim bechodesh ha'aviv, that you're leaving Mitzrayim today in the springtime. So in other words, you see from there that the isser applies for the entire day, not just for the time at which the carbon was eaten. It's actually a much longer time frame. So the Gemara says you're right. Ela hachi kamar laila echad v'hu adin lefesach doros v'chimutzo kol hayom ufesach doros nohe kol shiva. The Gemara says you're right, that really the isser in the times of Mitzrayim of chametz was just for that one night. And the same is true for Pesach Doros, and the Isser of Chametz applies the entire day. But when it comes to the Pesach Doros, so the Isser of Chametz applies for the duration of Pesach, for the entire week of Pesach. In other words, when the Torah says, let's say, when we saw earlier, right, when the Torah says you have to eat the carbon Pesach in great haste, you have to eat it for that one night. And the same is true when it comes to the Pesach Doros. You have to eat the carbon Pesach in that one night. However, the difference, the distinction between Pesach Doros and Pesach Mitzrayim is that the Isser of Chametz, as it relates to the Pesach Mitzrayim, was only for that one day, but the Isser Chametz in the future for Pesach Doros applies for the entire week of Pesach. That's really all the Mishnah meant to say. It was referring to the Isser of Chametz, not to the din of the Karban Pesach itself. Okay. The Mishnah that tells us, Amar Rabbi Yoshua, Shamati Shetmuras Pesach Kriva, Usmuras Pesach Ina Kriva Ve'in Lefarish. Rabbi Yoshua heard conflicting reports as to whether what's called the Temuras Pesach can be offered as a Karban Shalom. What does that mean? So we know, and we spoke about this, already probably almost a year and a half ago, back in Maseches Temura at the end of Seder Kachim, right? There's an issur in the Torah called Temura, which means that you're not allowed to substitute or to exchange one carbon for another. However, if you did so, the carbon, the kedusha of the original carbon, will transfer to the other animal. So now the question is: we know that a carbon Pesach that for whatever reason can't be offered or isn't offered is usually defaulted to becoming a shlamim. We've already spoken about this in the past. So Rabbi Yoshua had conflicting reports. This is not just a regular, replacement for a Korban Pesach. This is a temura. This is a substitution for a Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Yeshua heard conflicting reports about whether the substitution for a Korban Pesach can be offered as a shlamim, and he wasn't sure how to resolve the contradiction. So the Mishnah explains, I'm a Rabbi Akiva, ani afarish. I'm going to explain the resolution to this apparent contradiction. HaPesach shenimtza kodem shchitas HaPesach yira'at sheyistoy v'yimachir v'yavi b'dam of shlamim v'chein temurasso acher shchitas HaPesach kariv shlamim v'chein temurasso. Rabbi Akiva says that he says that the distinction is very simple. He says that if, in other words, I designated an animal for the Korban Pesach, and then I lost that animal, and then I went ahead and designated basically a replacement animal. Now, that replacement is not an Isser of Temura, because I still have to bring my Korban Pesach. However, the Mishnah says, if let's say I went ahead and I found the original animal prior to the Shechita of the replacement, so the halacha is that original animal that was supposed to be my Korban Pesach beforehand, I have to let it graze until it develops a mum, and then once it develops a mum, I sell it, and I use the proceeds to purchase a Korban Shlamim, and the same is true for its substitute. So let's say, for example, in other words, basically, in the case of a substitute, there are basically three animals involved. So I had animal A was supposed to be my Korban Pesach. I lost it. I set aside animal B. I then substitute animal B for animal C, and then I find animal A after that. So the Mishnah says, in that case also, you sell off you let the animal graze until it develops a mum, then you sell it off and use its proceeds to purchase a Korban Shlamim. However, if you only found the original animal after you shechted the replacement animal, or the substitute of the replacement animal, then the original animal itself is offered as a shlamim, as opposed to in the first case when you found it prior to the shechita, you have to let it graze, develop a mum, sell it off, and then use the proceeds to buy a shlamim. In the case where you found it after the shechita, that original animal itself becomes a korban shlamim. That's the distinction according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara wants to know, v'lema pesach karev u'fesach eino karev. The Gemara asks, the Mishnah could have formulated this distinction in a much more basic way. Why does the Mishnah have to throw in this case of the substitute? It's just complicating things for no reason. The halacha of the substitute is exactly the same as the halacha of the replacement animal in the case where you lost the first one. Why does the Mishnah throw in the idea of a substitute animal? It seems to be completely superfluous. So the Gemara says, no. Ha-kamash malan, de'ika t'muras ha-pesach de'lo kreva. The chiddush is that there are certain cases of the substitute animal that is not allowed to be offered as a korban shlamim. As we already explained, right, because in other words, as the Gemara is going to continue to explain, there are certain cases where if it's, let's say, you found the animal, after the if you found it prior to the shechita, you're not allowed to offer the substitute as a karma. So the Gemara explains, Itmar, Rabba Amar Kodem Shechita Ula Acher Shechita Shaninu, Rabbi Zera Amar Kodem Chatzos Ula Acher Chatzos Shaninu. There was a machlokas about what the correct formulation in the Mishnah was. So Rabba seems to have the standard reading that we have in our Mishnah, which is that the line of demarcation that matters is whether you found the original animal prior to shechita or after shechita. If you found it before the shechita of the replacement, so then the animal has to, you have to let it graze and develop a woman and sell it off and use the money to buy a shlamim. If you found it after the shechita of the replacement, so then you can offer it as a shlamim itself. However, Rabbi Zera said that the distinction does not depend on whether the shechita was done, but rather it depends on whether you found the original animal prior to chatzos or after chatzos. So the Gemara asks, the Rabbi Zera, HaKatari Kodim Shechita Sapasach, doesn't the Mishnah say that you found the original animal prior to the shechita? So the Gemara says, no, Ema Kodim Zman Shechita Sapasach. The Mishnah meant to say that you found the original animal prior to the Zman, prior to the time. In other words, prior to the earliest time in which you could offer the carbon, which is at chatzos. And the Gemara says, "Ketanai haPesach shenimtza kodem shchita yira laachar shchita yikrav." Rabbi Eliezer omer kodem chatzos yira laachar chatzos yikrav. And the Gemara says, "This is in fact a machlokas tanaim." In other words, according to the Tanakama, he says that the line of demarcation is whether you shechted the replacement animal, whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, the line of demarcation is whether you found the original animal before chatzos or after chatzos. Okay.
Rabbi, yeah. Is it true? Of course, I don't remember Torah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's always true that the substitute animal takes precedence regardless of when you find the first animal.
What do you mean? What do you mean by takes precedence?
Oh, okay. I lost my first animal.
Yeah.
But we're talking of specifically the Korban Pesach animal that's lost.
Okay.
So let's say I make a regular Korban and I say that I'm gonna use this animal and then that animal's lost and then I substitute another one, and then I find the first one.
Right.
So,
Oh, you're saying. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying at that point, is it better to use the substitute or the replacement? Is that what you're asking?
Correct.
Yeah. I think the halacha is that you have to, at that point, once you transferred the kedusha, you have to use the substitute, even though you violated an isser of tamura. But lamaisa, the kedusha was transferred. So I mean, it could be also because I think by tamura also, I think we assume that both animals retain kedusha. So I think it's possible that you could probably pick which one you wanted to offer. I think it's probably the halacha. Yeah. Okay, so then the Mishnah told us, "Acher shchitas haPesach yavi shlamim." If you found the original animal after the replacement was shechted, then you have to offer the original animal as a shlamim. You can't just let it graze, develop a mum, sell it off, and use the proceeds to buy a shlamim. It itself is offered as a shlamim. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava lo shanu elisha nimtza acher shchita veheimir bo acher shchita avul nimtza kodim shchita veheimir bo acher shchita tumuraso mikolach kedusha dechuya kaasa velo karva." The Gemara says this halacha that we said that when you find the original animal after the shechita, that's not only that you found it after shechita, but it's also that you replaced it, that you violated the isra of tamura, you substituted it also after shechita. However, if let's say you found the original animal prior to shechita, but you only substituted the replacement after shechita, I'm sorry, you only substituted the original one after shechita, so then the Gemara says that the halacha is that you cannot offer that original animal as a shlamim. Why not? Because the original animal is deriving its kedusha from something which is called kedusha dechuya. It's coming from a deferred, from a pushed aside kedusha. Because if you've already substituted the animal after the shechita, there's nothing left to do anymore. In other words, if you shechted the replacement animal and then afterwards you decide to substitute it, the original animal that you found can no longer be offered as a shlamim. So the Gemara asks, "Esi ve'abaye im kesev matamid lomar im kesev l'rabus tmunas haPesach acher haPesach shekarv shlamim." So the Gemara says, hang on one second. In Parshas Vayikra, when the Torah describes which types of animals can be used to offer as a carbon shlamim, the Torah says, im kesev, right? So if you're going to offer up a lamb. So what's the chiddush? Why is the Torah teaching that to us? What are we deriving from that? Those words, im kesev? So the Gemara says, oh, that pasuk teaches me that if I have a substitute for a carbon Pesach after the carbon Pesach was already shechted, I can still offer that as a shlamim. So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, what's the case? Ilema shenimtza acher shchita veheimer bo acher shchita pshita lamalikra. If the case is where I found the original animal after shechita of the replacement, and I only substituted after the shechita, then it's obvious that the original animal is offered as a shlamim. Why do I need a pasuk to teach me that? El alav shenimtza kodem shechita veheimir bo acher shechita. So presumably, then the case is where I found the original animal prior to the shechita of the carbon pesach, but I only substituted it after the carbon was shechted, and yet the Torah, and yet we derive from the pasuk in Parashas Vayikra, it seems to be that you can still offer it as a shlamim. That's against what we just said before in the Gemara. Because before the Gemara told us that if you did the substitution after the Shechita, you can no longer offer the animal as a Shlam. And this pasuk seems to go against that. So the Gemara says, lo, la'olam shenimtza acher Shechita, ve'heimir bo'acher Shechita, ukras machta b'yam. The Gemara says, no, really the pasuk was talking about a case where you found the original animal after the Shechita, and you only did the substitution after the Shechita as well. Isn't it obvious? Don't we already know that? So the Gemara says, you're right, but the pasuk is just an asmachta b'yam. The pasuk in Parshas Vayikra is just an allusion, it's just a remiss to the halacha. You don't really need a pasuk to teach it to you, but we're deriving it as an illusion. Then the Gemara says, Ela krala mayasa. So what in fact are we deriving from this pasuk then? Where it says, Kidasanya. Kesev l'rabos es haPesach la'alya. The Gemara says, you see from this pasuk in Vayikra that there's a halacha that you have to offer up the fatty tail, the alya, the tail of an animal for the carbon Pesach as well. So the Gemara says, Kishehu omer im kesev l'rabos Pesach she'avra shnaso u'shlamim habayin machmas Pesach l'chom mitzvah shlamim she'ta'un smicha u'nestachim u'snufas chaza v'shok. So when the Torah says that phrase im kesev in Parshas Vayikra, that teaches me that if basically I have a carbon Pesach that for whatever reason can no longer be offered as a carbon Pesach, either because the animal is too old. We know that only a lamb that's under a year can be offered as a carbon Pesach. So let's say now the lamb turned 1 year old. So now it's no longer viable to offer as a carbon Pesach. Or let's say, for example, I had an animal that was otherwise fit, but let's say I brought another animal in its place for whatever reason. So now the original animal has to be offered as a shlamim. And in both of these cases, whether the animal turned 1 year old or whether I brought in a replacement animal, so now the original animal now all the halachos of a carbon shlamim will pertain to this animal. Namely, it requires smicha, you have to lean on the animal, which is not true for the regular carbon pesach. It also requires, you have to bring it with certain libations, and it requires tenufas chazav v'shok. The kohanim have to wave around the breast and the thigh of the carbon shlamim. That's a din that's only applicable to the carbon shlamim, not to other karbanos. Ucheshuhu omer v'im eis hifseka inyan, limid al ha'eis she'ein tu'una alia. Then when the Torah in Parshas Vayikra says, v'im eis, if you're going to bring a female goat for a carbon shlamim, so you'd see from there that the carbon shlamim does not require aliyah. There is no requirement to offer the tail of the carbon shlamim, but there is a requirement to offer the tail of the carbon pesach. That's the chiddush we're deriving from these psukim and parashas vayikra. Then the Gemara says, "Ika demasli la'arisha." Some taught this about the first clause of the brisa. Ha'pesach shenimtza kodem shchitas ha'pesach yira'at sheyistoy v'imacher v'yavi b'davim shlamim v'chein t'muraso. So if let's say the carbon pesach, in other words, I discovered it prior to the shchitas ha'carbon. So in other words, I had my substitute animal. I'm sorry, I had my replacement animal. I discovered the original one that I lost before I shechted it. So as we mentioned earlier, you have to let it graze, you have to wait till it develops a mum, then you have to sell it and use its proceeds to buy a shlamim, and the same is true for a substitute of that replacement animal. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava lo shanu ala shenimtza kodem shchita v'hemir bo kodem shchita, avol nimtza kodem shchita v'hemir bo achar shchita, t'murasu kreva shlamim. The Gemara says, that's only true in a case where you found the animal prior to the shchita and you substituted it prior to the shchita as well. But if you found the animal before the shchita, and you only substituted it after the shchita, so the halacha is that the substitute can also be offered as a shlamim. My time, what's the logic behind that? Ki kava shchita midi de chazile, midi de lo chazile lo kava, because the Gemara tells us that the whole notion, the idea that we're developing here, that you can even have this notion of temura, that the chalos of temura can even take effect on the animal, presupposes that the animal is otherwise fit for shchita, is otherwise fit to be offered as a carbon pesach. In other words, the whole issur of Temura only gets off the ground if you could have otherwise offered the animal, then you decide for whatever reason to substitute it for a different one. That's the issur of Temura. But if the animal was not fit anyway to be offered as the carbon, because let's say you already shechted the replacement animal, so now the original one is no longer fit to be offered as the carbon Pesach, then there would not be an issur of Temura anyway, and the Kedusha would not transfer to the other animal. Okay, now the Gemara asks, Isi de Abaye, im kesev matam lomar, lurabus tmuras ha-pesach achar ha-pesach shekreva shlamim. So what are we deriving again from the words im kesev in Parshas Vayikra? You see from here that if you substituted the carbon pesach after, after it was shechted, you have to offer the original animal as a shlamim. So the Gemara says, yachol af lifnei ha-pesach, and I might have thought that's also true even before the carbon pesach was shechted. Gemara says, no, tabud lomar who karei ve'in tmuras ha-pesach kreva. It's only the animal itself. Only once when the replacement has been shechted, that's when the original animal is offered as a shlamim. But if the replacement has not yet been shechted, then as we said before, you have to sell it off and use the money to buy a shlamim. So hey, Chidami, what's the case here? What was that?
If the original is found, right?
Yeah.
Before he does the Temura.
Right.
And then he, why would the second animal have to be slaughtered at all?
No, meaning, in other words, if let's say you found the original before the Shechita, but you did the Temura after the Shechita, that was the case in the Gemara, right? You found it before, but you did the Temura after the Shechita.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do Temura ever? I'm saying that you can ask that question in general. Why would anyone ever do Temura? What was that? No, but let's say
the guy found an even better quality animal. The guy thought, you know what, I want to use this better animal, even though he's not supposed to do that, right?
Okay? So in that case, the Gemara says that you know, in other words, the animal itself is going to be offered as a shlamim. So the Gemara says, hey, Chidon, what's the case here? So again, if you find the animal before the replacement was shechted, and you did the temura before the shechita, then of course that animal is going to be offered as a shlamim. What's the chiddush of the pasuk? The Gemara says must be the cases where you found the animal prior to the shechita of the karban, but you only did the temura afterwards, again, for whatever reason, and yet the halacha still is that in that case, the animal is offered as a shlamim. That seems to be, and that's a clear refutation against Rava, because Rava told us that in that case, the animal has to be sold off and use its proceeds to, and I'm sorry, he said in that case, it can't be offered. So you see from here that it's not true. You see that in this case, if you found the animal before the shechita, and then you did the temura after the shechita, you can still offer the original animal as a shlamim, unlike what Rava said. Rava says he can't do that, but you see clearly from the Pesukim in Vayikra that you can.